Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy question mark Wednesday, everybody. So you already know what the big story of the day is. I mean, obviously there's no avoiding this. Like, for as much as we might like to think we can just kind of live in our own little bubble here at Your Local Alternative, that's not always necessarily the case. So we have to address that. The Dallas Cowboys are just absolute trash, and I love it. No, we will actually get into, we probably actually will cover that a little later on. Still making moves, even though Dak Prescott's going to be out for a good chunk of time on injured reserve. But no, we will get into the Lions and their move yesterday coming up. But I mean, oh, by the way, I should introduce Wes Immel filling in this afternoon as Adam kind of punked out on us today.
Live via satellite.
Yeah, we've actually got the stuff working. Like, it sounds like almost like a professional radio operation around here. Like, it's kind of nice.
I'm about 18 miles away from you, and I'm actually underground at the moment. Seriously.
Oh, that's true. I mean, you are technically underground there at the Immel bunker there in the thriving metropolis of
Beecher.
Beecher, yeah, that's what it is. I forget what.
Broadcasting live to you from Johnny O'Brien's Blackwater Pub, located in the armpit of 475 and I-75, in the heart of Beecher.
Ah, there you go. Fun stuff. So, I mean, we have to start with the obvious, right? I mean, there's really, I feel like at this point.
I don't want to.
I know. I don't want to either, but I feel like I'm almost like forced to, because this is the dystopian hellscape in which we now live, man. Like, that happened.
Is crapshoot one word or two words? I'm very curious to know that.
I believe one.
Gotcha.
If I remember correctly, it is officially one. I mean, gotcha. Well, I'll say this. If there's going to be any civil wars going on here, first thing that I need to put out is I don't know how I'm supposed to dress for this. No one's ever really told me. Like, am I supposed to be doing something, like, formal, like, full suit? Like, are we talking like Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome here? Like, the rules of engagement were never fully explained to me, and neither was the outfitting, honestly.
I get that. I really do, man.
Yeah, they never, you know, these are the things that no one tells you when you have to prepare for such a thing. I mean,
I'm waiting for the pamphlet to come in the mail. So you've decided to hate your country.
It's funny because it's kind of true right now. I'd like to say I'm surprised at what happened, but if I'm to be entirely honest with you, I can't. I'd be fully lying to you if I said that. We both know that I'm a terrible liar.
I want to know what Tim Walz has to say. I would love to be on the fly on his wall right now.
Right, because you know that guy has some words, and they are probably more profane than anything that we can fathom.
I'd probably quote Kamala on this, but, you know, FCC and all that good stuff. We can't do anything profane until, what, middle of January, February, somewhere in there?
I believe that's true. On the bright side, Adam's going to be able to do his count down to the top racial slurs of all time and probably be able to get some government funding now.
That's unfortunate.
That is unfortunate, but, you know, this is where we find ourselves here in the year of There Is No Lord 2024. That's just kind of how it is. All I'm asking on a serious note here is that if we're going to start talking civil wars and rioting and whatnot, could we wait until February 11th? That's all I'm asking for.
Right.
Because if you people screw up the only chance I may have in my lifetime to watch my football team win a title, I swear everybody will. You know, you're going to wish you were just rioting, because I'm going to be going full bore and the entire city of Detroit will be joining me on this.
That's true. I'm glad that you didn't say exactly what you wanted to say on here, because that could be actually implicated, and we don't need you going to jail.
No, you know, we really don't. Wouldn't be good for the show. But
I would laugh really hard if we started to see hipsters that said Che Guevara's face on their t-shirt. It's yours.
You know, I could think of worse things.
Wait a minute. Note to self. Che Guevara-style Sean Cantwell t-shirts.
Oh no, this is gonna end badly, and you know, I'm also kind of fine.
Yeah, I can't win!
Love it. Oh my, yes. So also, I know I said February 11th. That's because, you know what? I'm going to need a day to fully recover, being hungover after celebrating watching the Lions win a Super Bowl. Because, who wants to fight a Civil War hungover? That's just not good for anybody. It's not good for us. It's not good for the – well, it's not good for anybody.
As long as the opposition is diminished, it's okay.
Oh, it'll be – it definitely well may be diminished that day, man. A lot of stuff to do today. We are going to do a little bit of unsolicited advice coming up, which that'll be fun. You'll get your wife involved in this because I feel like she is probably the better advice-giving person of the three of us, four if you count Adam, which I don't today. We'll do all that fun stuff. Hell, maybe we'll get the kid in on some Lions talk later. Who knows?
Right? He's actually home.
I heard in the background when we were sending videos back and forth earlier from our current dystopian hellscapes, I heard he was chiming in a little bit, which I appreciate. So maybe we'll get him involved in some Lions stuff later. It is happy hour at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. Matchbox 20 in real world at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. While I'm not entirely sure I feel like I'm living in the real world right now, but that's to be expected on a day like today. It's happy hour. I'm Sean Cantwell. He's Wes Immel. And
yes, I am.
Have you been following, by the way, this whole thing with the squirrel or whatever on the internet?
I heard something about it, but I'm not quite sure what was going on with it.
So I'm not sure why this squirrel was famous. Like, I don't know if this was like the jet skiing squirrel you'd always see like at the end of your local news or whatever. But apparently, the neighbors of the owner of said squirrel called on it, said, like accused it of being like rabid or something, and then as it turns out. They went in, euthanized said squirrel, and after that, apparently people went and doxed the lady who had put out the call for it to get killed, and I think she basically had to delete all of her social media because she just couldn't help going and bragging about the damn thing.
What the hell?
I don't understand why people are the way they are. So, yeah, he got seized the night before Halloween, I guess, along with a pet raccoon named Fred. Following anonymous complaints, government officials alleged after the seizure, Peanut had bitten one of the personnel involved, and the pets were euthanized to test for rabies. When they were in the process of filing paperwork to have the squirrel certified as an educational animal when Peanut was seized, the owner later stated the decision to euthanize the squirrel won't go unheard. The anonymous complaints were motivated by jealousy, according to the owner, due to the success of its OnlyFans account?
Wait a minute. Did you say that the squirrel had an OnlyFans account?
Apparently, yes. Like,
was it showing off his nuts?
Yeah, I guess. Like, I didn't... Okay, so... Looking at this, Mark and Daniela Longo told the Post on the New York Post on Saturday they had been cashing in on their furry internet sensation who helped steer followers to the owner's raunchy OnlyFans page. Okay, so it was... So it wasn't the squirrel showing it all online, I guess. But
that'd be something else.
Yeah, it would. I don't... Something else that I don't think any of us are really ready for. I mean... Rule 40, as 34 goes, like, if it exists, someone wants to see porn of it, but they made so much money off this OnlyFans as boosted by their animals that they managed to make $800,000 in a month and buy a 350-acre ranch near Elmira, New York.
Wow.
I am, I'm kind of right there with you. But no, apparently. Go ahead.
I haven't heard a squirrel go that crazy since Foamy the Squirrel and Jonathan Ian Mathers.
You're not wrong. But
only the OGs will remember Foamy.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Those of us that were around in the early days of the old YouTube remember. It's funny.
I remember when this part of the internet was nothing but a farm field. Barbara Stanwyck and I used to take the trolley.
Honestly, it might be better off if it were still that way. But it's terrible because, you remember the last time that that some animal captured the internet's attention? It was 2016. 6 months after that, after Harambe got put down, you remember what happened? I'm not saying it's a coincidence, but I'm not saying that these two things are connected, but I'm not saying it either.
Gotcha.
Especially because Kamala apparently did not return a request for comment on the incident, whereas J.D. Vance posted on whatever they're calling Twitter these days that Trump is fired up about Peanut the Squirrel. And the official Trump campaign TikTok also had things to say about it. Did we not learn anything from Harambe? Can we quit killing the internet?
Did we not learn anything? Did we not learn anything from the years 2016 to 2020?
No, clearly we didn't. Obviously we didn't, because yesterday happened. That really, I guess, shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody. Just all I'm saying is whatever popular social media animals are out there, keep them wrapped up. Like, seriously, let's bubble wrap these damn things, because we don't need yet another repeat of this again in 4 or 8 years, I guess. It's Happy Hour, your local alternative. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, don't worry about it, because in 4 years, we won't have to vote again.
Yeah, that's fair. We do have that going for us, which is nice, quote unquote. It is Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. See, the lovely thing about doing this radio show here, you know, on non-terrestrial airwaves at your local alternative Solid State Radio, is that I'm allowed to mention that not only have I been drinking pretty heavily over the last 12 hours, as you might imagine, Wes has been getting some of the aftermath of that, but that also that Wes is currently getting high and not have to, like, feel weird about, are we allowed to talk about the marijuana on the air?
Dude, I got a whole ounce of pre-roll sitting right next to me and 4 lighters and a whole bunch of Chex Mix. I'm ready.
You strike me as being very ready. What exactly is it that you're getting after over there? Mine's Tullamore Dew, obviously, because it's the official whiskey of the Second Civil War.
Yeah. I am smoking Rainbow Runts.
Okay.
Has a 26.8 THC rating and has a THCA of 25.5, whatever that is, and 0.10% of CBD.
Okay, so, like, what is that? Maybe because I assume you're more of an expert on this stuff than I am, because I know nothing of the weed. I'll tell my experience
the
with the weed.
I'll
tell my experience with that in a moment.
That's what J.D. Vance calls it, the weed.
Yeah. Oh, God. Don't give me that.
Hello,
I
am presidential candidate and human bag, J.D. Vance. I am vice presidential candidate and train enthusiast. Oh, there's a guy on TikTok that's been doing all of those. Like, the other one was like, I may or may not have been the inspiration for Stephen King's The Stand.
Hey, at least this time it's not the Zodiac Killer, so, you know, we got that going for us, which is nice.
So you wanted to talk about the herb.
Sure. As he lights one up over there. Yeah, so I know nothing about this. Like, in comparison to, like, I understand, like, milligrams on, say, edibles and things. Now, granted, I don't understand them enough to actually give myself the right amount of them, as I found out one night when I came home sober, decided to take one to help me sleep. A 10-milligram gummy, and found out that, oh, no, your anxiety brain just goes 20 times faster on that stuff. So, like, what would that...
Oh, dude, did I tell you about when I went to go vote?
You did not.
Sorry, I don't have a mute button over here.
That's fair.
Anyways, the night before I went to go vote, I had a package of gummies. They're just like... They're round circular gummies. I mean, they taste just like... Well, they're not taste like exactly like gummy bears or anything, but they're of a gummy variety.
Okay.
So I had a pack that melted before my house got air conditioning, so it was just like this big, huge, sticky goo in the bottom of this bag. So I had already done 40 milligrams, so I'm thinking, you know what? I don't have to work tomorrow. I'm going to go ahead and see what's in this bag. And I peeled it out and ate it like a giant fruit roll-up.
Oh, my God. That sounds amazing and also terrifying.
Chump, I was not high that night. I was in orbit.
Wow.
Yeah, I probably did about 240 milligrams of edibles.
Sweet Jesus, I'd die. I would die. There's no way around this.
And it lasted for almost 2 days.
Oh, my God. That's
I had to go vote that next morning, and I get to the polling place, and I did obviously I haven't been here before because, you know, I'm new to the area. And yeah. I walk in and like, oh, voting's downstairs. And I'm just like, I can't walk downstairs right now. Mind you, it's also in a police station. So there's cops all over this place, so I'm just trying to take it as cool as I possibly can.
Yeah, don't really blame you.
Yeah, that was not fun.
But I mean,
I went to Arby's and ate like $20 worth of stuff, so it all canceled each other out.
Oh, God, he was so hungry, he ate at Arby's.
I could eat at Arby's.
But I mean, it's not like it's illegal to smoke while high, right? I mean, what are they really going to do?
Well, I did drive up there.
Okay, yeah, I guess I can see where that might be a little bit of an issue.
I kept waiting for the stop sign to turn green.
Yeah, they might frown upon that just a little bit. But see, like, I'm amazed, like, you can actually handle this stuff, whereas, like, I took, like, a 10 milligram, and they said it was, I think, you know, it was indica, which is the one that's supposed to put you in the couch, as Skinner likes to say it.
Right.
Went to bed, hadn't drank that, and that's the reason I did it that day, is because I hadn't drank. I'm like, okay, maybe I can finally get something that will put me to sleep, right? That's, you know, the hope here. So I went and laid down. It was about probably 30 minutes or so from the time I took it, and it felt like nothing. So went to bed about 20 minutes later. That's when it started. All of a sudden, I'm going just crazy. Like, my brain is just running a million miles a minute. I'm just seeing, like, not really hallucinating per se, but it's like that when your brain's overactive and you've got your eyes closed and are trying to sleep. Like, I felt like I had the spins, dude. It was
but
not
Johnny
good.
But Johnny Cash wasn't there telling you to find your soulmate?
No, he wasn't. Wrong drugs, I think. Peyote, I guess, is what I should have done. But, you know, or whatever it is that Aaron Rodgers does these days, the ayahuasca or whatever. But
I think I've been there.
I hear it's lovely this time of year. But I took that, and that's all going on, and I'm just like, while this is happening, I'm thinking, oh, God. Because I know Rachel has said that in the past when I come home and get in bed after getting, like, really tying one on, like not normal drunk me, like completely hammered me, it gets bad. Like, I apparently just start thrashing about our bed like I'm on board the Titanic. And it's so bad that a lot of times she'll literally just get up and go downstairs because it's easier than dealing with this. And that's fair.
Were you somewhere outside of Barstow when the drugs began to hold?
I was well outside of Barstow by about 3,000 miles.
Got you.
But so when that happened, so now I'm freaking out because, like, oh, God, it's happening. Rachel's going to hate me now forever. Like, oh, God, I did it again. Like, I'm probably thrashing about the bed and completely causing her from getting a night's sleep. Oh, God, she's going to get up and leave every time I think, like, I'm going to move myself, like, move, like, a quarter of an inch. Like, oh, God, she's going to leave. She's going to leave me. She's going to leave me. And finally, apparently, sometime around, I think, 7 that morning.
Where would she go? Come on now.
You're right. It's her house. So the house is in her name. So I guess it really, where would I go? And probably out to my car, I guess.
I was going to say, I have a few suggestions.
Yeah, I know. Only one or two of them might involve hell in a handbasket. So
this is true.
Finally, around 7 o'clock or so, I pass out. It's about, I think, noon that day I wake up, noon or 1 o'clock. And I know it's going to be already not a great rest of my day because I know I'm going to see somebody at work that I'm going to end up getting into it with, and it's not going to be a good day. And I came in feeling like, so I don't get hangovers, right? Like, that's not really a thing in my world. Like,
I really want to make a joke, but I'm not going to.
For as much as I drink, I don't get hungover. Like, I might wake up feeling like death.
You have to stop first.
See? Hair of the dog. You know? Cue the Eddie Murphy meme. As you
are. I thought you were going to say, cue the Nazareth song. As you know, I'm lighting this up.
Yeah. You know, the Eddie Murphy meme here. Like, you can't get hungover if you don't stop drinking. But that's seriously how it goes for me. Like, unless I drink a bunch of sugary sweet stuff and I wake up with a headache from hell. But other than that,
yeah, that makes sense.
It's not a thing for me. But I woke up feel like if I got hangovers, this is what they would feel like. So I get home that night, and Rachel gets home from work, and I ask, you know, hey, Rach, so did I seem like off from normal last night? Was I like just thrashing about the bed like I was hammered or anything like that? No, actually, in fact, you didn't move from your spot in the bed for literally the entire time from when you went to bed that I noticed until I left for work. Okay,
that's
good.
Amazing.
Good, because I was higher than you know what last night. Like, oh, I honestly wouldn't have guessed. No idea. Like, well, I guess this...
Dude, sometimes that stuff can do well for some. Sometimes it doesn't for others. How you were on 10 milligrams of gummies, I was like that when I took shrooms.
Yeah, like, I'm scared out of my mind to do the shroom thing. Like, I don't think I could do
it. One word, don't!
Thank you,
Sean. If you want to learn anything from me, Wes Immel, don't do shrooms.
It was that bad of an experience, huh?
Yeah, it wasn't fun. Let's just put it that way.
Like, I don't see. I'm fine with, like, I just want to, like, drink enough or, you know, smoke enough or whatever to just kind of be in a relaxed state. Like, I'm not trying to see sounds, hear colors, or fight God. Not here for it. Not what I'm trying to do. Don't need that kind of negativity in my life. Like, that just sounds like a bad time all the way around. So I guess I will take that as I will take that message and use that advice wisely. It is happy hour at your local alternative Solid State Radio. Sleep Token at your local alternative Solid State Radio. So Wes is abdicating the mic for a moment because we got to talk a little bit of Lions. Big move happened yesterday sometime after we got off the air for the afternoon. Like, we briefly, like, we touched on it for a little bit on the show, but Za'Darius Smith, officially a Detroit Lion. And thankfully, in the Immel household, there's at least one person in the building who actually knows sports. Aiden, what's going on, man? Oh, just living the dream. All right, so Za'Darius Smith, are we happy with the with the price that we paid to give him, which was basically a fifth round pick and then a pick swap that I think ultimately ends up being pretty meaningless? And at this point, would you say the Lions have done enough to officially, you know, to get their playoff, their Super Bowl hopes back on track?
You know, I really would. Even without him originally, I think our game plan was already really good. I just think with Za'Darius Smith, it just adds a little bit more of the that piece that we're missing with Aiden Hutchinson at the moment. So, you know, it just makes it a little bit easier to put that scheme together and put that effort on the field with Za'Darius Smith where Aiden Hutchinson is. So,
I tend to agree with that. I mean, he's not, obviously, he's getting up there in years for an NFL edge rusher, certainly. And he's not, obviously, in my mind, there was basically two or three tiers of guys that you could conceivably put in to replace Hutch and what he did. Tier one, the guys who are basically the direct comps, right? Max Crosby, Myles Garrett, and that's basically it, guy of the people who are actually available. Then your next tier, guys who aren't as good, who aren't at that elite level, but are still above average and are still guys that will be able to reestablish the pass rush that you don't currently have. So, and I'd say Za'Darius Smith fits into that, like, that solid tier two of guys. Then, like, you could probably put an Arden Key somewhere between the two, and then, who was it? What's his jet that is all disgruntled over there. He'd be a guy that I'd put in the tier three. Why am I drawing a blank on the name? If you think of it before me, please feel free.
You got me drawing a blank too. Who was it?
He's sat out with the Jets all year. Like, it didn't seem like he really wants to be there.
Jermaine,
like,
Johnson?
Who?
Jermaine Johnson?
No, not. It's definitely not him. I'm sure we'll think of it at some point before we get off the air here. But because there was another guy who, it was talked about him potentially coming here, and it just didn't end up panning out. Like, I think he's probably gonna end up staying there. But when you look at it, though, it's like there's very few guys really who can replace Hutch, do what he does at the level he does, and you were kind of in a bad position as it was because you also had to replace, obviously, Marcus Davenport, who's out for the year, and Josh Pascal, who missed the last couple games because apparently, and the news came out today that he had like some sort of mass of some sort on a shoulder or something. Like there was some something major, that ended up being surprisingly major with him. But it looks like I believe he might be able to. I'm hoping he'll be able to play come Sunday. I'll have to dig further more into that. But does this to you now, as the Lions stand right now, having made the move that they did, are they in your mind the team to beat in the Super Bowl? Is this now the team to beat in the NFL?
Oh, easily. I mean, after the after that Tampa Bay game, I mean, the Lions haven't turned around since. They've fixed their second half gameplay where, we would see some mistakes and we would be like, all right, so what's Dan Campbell planning here? But after that Cowboys game, after this Titans game, I mean, we even beat the Vikings who were, 6-0. So, I mean, it's got a Lions got a clear run for definitely the title here.
And I would say after going and doing what they did in Green Bay, because I know I and a lot of other people had a bit of skepticism there, and I feel like it was certainly founded that, can you really get past Green Bay with basically not being able to set the edge at all, not being able to get home to the QB, not getting really pressure on him? And you still, despite all that, managed to do that because, yeah, you may give Jordan Love all day to throw, but when you've got Kirby Joseph, who's a total ball hawk on the other side, it really helps. It helps really boost things a lot there, and you don't feel quite as bad about, it makes up for some of the other shortcomings. Now, my question to you is, if there's one team in the AFC that you don't want to match up against in the Super Bowl, one team that you're really worried that, I don't know if we can get past them, who would it be?
I hate to say it, but I honestly don't think if we match up against the Ravens, I don't think we can do it. I mean, we just had in the last little bit with a couple of Ravens games. I mean, we always get to that last little moment where we're in the lead, and they're able to drive down that field and kick a 60-yard plus field goal, and it just seems to drop Detroit. So if we can avoid getting the Ravens, I think we're in the clear, because we've obviously been able to beat Patrick Mahomes. We had the great secondary to do that. We got the speed to do so. If we can get some of that edge back, we'll be able to put that pressure behind and just really just unfold.
I like the way you think there, because honestly, I said it on Monday, the Ravens are the only team that I'm really concerned with, and I think you can beat them. Like, that offense is admittedly a tough one to stop, but this team has been fairly good at containing the run and containing mobile quarterbacks this season, so it doesn't scare me as much. And also, their pass rush ain't great. Jared Goff, I feel like, could really pick apart that defense if he keeps playing like he is. I feel like there's no way this is sustainable, honestly. I mean, like the way you're playing over the last four games in particular, but like this six-game winning streak, like you're garnering comparisons to like the 2000 Ravens, like the greatest show on turf Rams, like... This isn't sustainable, is it? Or is it? And there's just something like, obviously you've played Tennessee, who's not good, Dallas, who's just an absolute just joke at home, and the Vikings you squeaked out a win against. Obviously you blew out, you contained Geno in Seattle, but is the sort of offensive performance that we're seeing sustainable, do you think?
In my opinion, if we can continue the way we are, honestly, with the elite dual halfback that we got, with the amazing wide receivers, even with James Williams being out for a while, they're kicking. So all you got to do is really hope and pray that they they keep with what they got for now, and when we're all healthy, let's just hope that when we put those pieces together that it unfolds and we're just a beast.
Yeah, that's certainly what I'm hoping, and the schedule the rest of the way seems to favor you in large part. You have, other than you have to go to Houston this week, and that is if you're going to get an L at any point the rest of the way, there's two games that do concern me, and those are the Texans in Houston, the Niners in San Fran, second to last game of the year. But from there, I mean, you get to play the Jags, who not really a good team at all. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is starting to finally show some signs, but I don't think it's going to be enough to save Doug Peterson's job down there for sure. The Colts, who, I mean, have basically given up on Anthony Richardson, which, side note, let me ask you about, have you been following the whole thing with the Colts and Richardson, you know, sitting out a play because he was quote-unquote tired and, I think, losing the whole locker room?
That's so unsportsmanlike. I mean, that's what you're drafted there for. You're there to be a positive impact. And, I mean, especially after he was injured that one year, the fact that they're trying to give him a chance now to succeed is, you know, he's got the chance. And being the careless person he is and, you know, wasting that energy on that run, you would think that if he was tired, he would have conserved that, maybe made more of a clever pass or something like that of the sorts, instead of getting yourself put on the bench because you're tired. And you put Joe Flacco in there to make headlines start looking like you're putting the old guy ahead of you.
Do you think Richardson plays another down for Indy? I believe he's got this year and I want to say next left on his as rookie deal. Do you think he starts another game, barring injury to Flacco? Do you think he starts again for Indy?
You know, if Flacco's not showing any improvement, I believe that they might kind of go back and see if Anthony is able to go out there and win a couple games. But the way he's looking right now, being tired in the middle of a game when it's pretty close, you can't be doing that.
You get the sense, really, that he's lost the locker room. You really do.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly he's been getting blasted, you know, among the pundits in the first take crowd, but you get the sense, really, that the clubhouse is not really good with that, you know, putting out, I don't want to say lack of effort, but kind of lack of effort. I feel like a guy like that, like, he was always going to be kind of a project guy. I really was kind of surprised that when they had him start as soon as he did. Like, the smart thing to do with him would have been to let him do what, I hate to say this, but do what the Packers do with their QBs.
Oh, yeah.
Let him sit a couple years. Let him sit. Let him learn how to do it. And then by the time, you know, year three or four, whatever comes around, then let him go out there and show you what he can do. But, of course, it seems like the way this league is structured today, that's just not allowed to happen anymore. Like, you're expected, like, you got to go out there now. You got to produce now. And I know it's because the rookie deals are so, as much as they are now, you're paying these guys a lot more just to sit on the bench. Like, everyone doesn't have the luxury to do what, well, the Lions have been able to do with Hendon Hooker, a guy who I'm still not convinced is ever going to actually see meaningful game action in Detroit. But I think he could catch on with another team. It's probably for the best that he sit out the rest of this year and maybe some of next, because he's just, right now, don't think he's ready. But back to the Lions thing. So from there, Bears at home, Green Bay at home. I like your odds there. Buffalo, I feel like you can beat, but of the three, between Texans on the road, Bills at home, Niners on the road, I feel like Bills is the one that I'm the least concerned about. And probably from there, I feel like I'm more concerned at this point about the Texans than the Niners. And then from there, I don't worry about anything else on your schedule. Like, you could realistically be looking at a team now that goes 14 and 3, I feel like, is a reasonable expectation at this point, no?
Oh, yeah, no, easily. I mean, the Lions have surely proved themselves to be a winning team. I mean, Dan Campbell has done nothing but change this team around for the better. I mean, we have team chemistry that we haven't had since, like, early Matthew Stafford. It's great to just have a Lions team that strides with greatness, you know?
It's a culture thing. I've said it for years. Like, culture, like, you can't really put a price on a winning culture and a guy who can motivate the way Dan Campbell does. I mean, we've seen in the past guys like Jim Caldwell, like players' coach. Players liked playing for him, but they also weren't entirely motivated. You have the exact opposite of that guy in a Matt Patricia who was Mr. like Taskmaster. Everybody hated him, and no one wanted to play for him, and they ultimately quit on him. And then you have, now you've got a guy who's, you know, somewhere in the middle of that, who is a lot more willing, I guess, to be, like, yeah, he'll tell you, and he and his guys will tell you when you're screwing up, but also they will, you know, they know how to motivate guys and get the most out of them and, you know, coach him properly, I suppose. And that's really nice to see, something we haven't had in quite some time. Aiden, pleasure, man. Thank you for coming on and yakking a little bit of Lions with me, because Lord knows I don't think I've been able to get 14 minutes of football out of Wes.
No, I totally get that, and I appreciate it, man. Appreciate you having me on the show.
Anytime, dude. You're always welcome back here. Here's Pally Royale, your local alternative, Solid State Radio. All right, Wes, are you ready to judge some people? Do a little round of Am I the A-hole?
Yes, you are.
Well, yeah, I know I am, but we want to figure out if these people are as well. So I've got some rather interesting, some things I think you're going to have some things to say about. Let's dive into this.
I really think that the theme, we should have like a little theme for this, and it should be Dennis Leary.
Ha, you know, you're not wrong. I can be okay with this. But our first Am I the A-hole? So, am I the a-hole for ditching my boyfriend after he let me meet his parents in my Halloween costume?
Well, it all depends. What was she dressed up as?
Well, that's kind of where we're going with this. So, me, 20-year-old female, and my boyfriend, 21-year-old male, have only been dating for 3 months. He lives a couple hours from the college him and I both attended, and this weekend was the first time his parents had both come into town to visit. This weekend was also Halloween weekend, and as I did, as most college do, and dressed a bit slutty. My costume was nothing insane, but it was a leather corset top and leather micro shorts, both of which were a size too small. I put on this costume to go to my boyfriend's fraternity party, not expecting to see his mom sitting in his living room at 9 p.m. My boyfriend also failed to tell me his parents would be pre-gaming with us and attending the party. Again, this is the first time I met his mom, and she's a traditional Southern Christian woman. Needless to say, it was very awkward. I'm assuming that this may have given her the vapors. At night... At the party, I basically sat with my friends in one of my boyfriend's friends' rooms without him and avoided him the whole night. I felt like I couldn't drink in front of his parents and let loose. My boyfriend seems to not understand why I'm mad at him and why I feel disrespected. He says I'm overreacting and that if I felt comfortable to wear it out in front of his friends, I should feel comfortable to wear it in front of his parents. He's also mad that I didn't hang with him at the party itself and accused me of ditching him. I told him where my friends and I were. Even though I dressed pretty conservatively for the rest of the weekend, brunch and a football game with his parents, and I feel like I can handle myself pretty well when I drink, I can't help but feel like I should have been warned that they'd be present at the party. Am I the a-hole?
No, not really. But also at the same time, I want to preface something.
Sure.
The first time I met my now wife, she was wearing a miniskirt and a corset, and we were at a bar.
Okay.
So, the whole thing about, I get the whole, you know, costume thing but whatnot, but if she felt uncomfortable, she had every right to bail. I mean, seriously, now it's like, hey, the vibe here is off, I'm outie.
Yeah, I feel like you're entirely well within your rights. So there's a couple things that I have issues with here. For one, who invites their parents to a frat party? Like, who does this? Like, you kind of have an idea. Like, obviously, neither you or I were ever part of a fraternity, mostly because what kind of fraternities do you have at a community college? But who, like...
Lambda, lambda, lambda. That's all I have to say.
But I feel like nobody actually brings their parents to, knowing what we know about frat parties, which is basically mostly the movie Animal House and, like, National Lampoon's Van Wilder, like... Who would bring their parents to a frat party? Unless they were really cool parents, which these apparently were not.
I mean, I've had some times where my parents have showed up in some pretty bizarre situations I've been of, and I've been like, oh, hey, my folks are here. That's awesome. And everyone's like, woo, they're here.
Oh, yeah, I've been to a few of those, and a lot of those, honestly, you know, a lot of that time it's Rachel's folks. Like, we will go out, like, we'll go out drinking with them at, you know, random bars in, you know, any given town. And it's a pretty good time. Like, they're fun. Like, I mean, I got lucky with the in-laws and honestly the family in general. Like,
oh,
they
you
are,
have awesome in-laws.
Like, they're fun to party with. They're a good time. Like, I could see, like, you know, yeah, getting hammered and they're not going to judge me because, well, they're probably right there hammered with me. So, I mean.
Right.
I feel like I'm doing okay. But. There's some people's parents where, no, I can't imagine that. And she says they're very, like, uptight, conservative folk. Like, yeah, I probably wouldn't dress in a slutty Halloween costume the same way, you know, for a frat party that I would for, you know, meeting the in-laws. Like, most people. I mean, obviously, I'm not wearing slutty costumes at all. But and
you could. You got the rack for it.
I really don't. Not anymore. No, I've lost a little bit of weight, man. Like, man, I don't think I really have that going for me these days. But
is that what you get for jogging up and down the stairs of the Philadelphia Art Museum?
That's what I'm told. That's how that usually works, apparently. So that's so I hear. But I know I don't feel like she's in the wrong for that at all. Like, honestly, like you gotta warn somebody. Like, how do you not let them know? Like. Hey, you're meeting the folks tonight. Like, that just makes for an awkward experience for everybody. As far as the drinking thing goes, I may have been a bad influence once or twice and may have let a sibling-in-law's, insist on getting a sibling-in-law's boyfriend hammered the first time I met him. But that I have very, very...
Was that when he mowed your lawn?
No, different one, actually. That one's getting malorted at some point. No,
nice.
Because I have a very strong, like, a belief, as far as this goes, that you don't really know somebody until you've gotten them wasted. Like, anyone can pretend to be a nice, fine, upstanding human being. But it's a lot harder to do that when you've got half a fifth of whiskey in you.
Ah, the Nick Nolte method.
Like, I don't trust someone that I haven't gotten fully, you know, that I haven't gotten drunk with. And obviously, you're now exempt from this as a sober person who I also got hammered with many times before he sobered up.
I was going to say, you and I have been drunk together more times than I can even count on any of my fingers, so.
We've probably been drunk together more times than my wife and I have been drunk together, and, you know, we've been together 10 years. Like,
I don't believe, it's been quite a few years since I've been drunk with your wife, too.
That's fair. It's 5, 6, 7 now, whatever it is. But I have a very like strong, like, you know what? If you can't handle being hammered around or being at least a few drinks in around somebody, then it's probably because you're just not a good person. You're trying to keep that. You're trying to hide that. I want to know who you are from the jump, like who you really are, not just the public facade you put on. It's why when I meet people, I insist on being hammered. So all my cards are on the table. It also gets me invited to a lot fewer, timeshare meetings and, you know, cults. So I got it serves a double purpose, honestly.
But cult shares, on the other hand, he's all about them.
Oh, totally. Absolutely. All right. Let's go ahead and I do want to do one more of these reels. So I think though the conclusion here is that absolutely not the a-hole.
She is not, however, he is.
Oh, he absolutely is. Like he is absolutely an a-hole for not warning, like it's, you know, you wouldn't want your parents to meet your significant other wearing lingerie or whatever. Like, you know,
we threw an Uno reverse card at this.
We did. I kind of like it. So moving on, this next one, Drew actually, Mr. Drew Duffney sent this one along, and it kind of an odd thing because it's like we don't really do video daily doubles on this show typically with this sort of thing, but. In this case, we'll go ahead and make an exception. Take a listen.
I don't want your tattoos like ruining the pictures. It's not the vibe.
Who do you think you are?
This bride wants tattoos covered at her wedding.
Long sleeves is kind of my preference.
What did you just say?
Jess, it's not that deep.
You know how much these tattoos mean to me.
I want a clean, aesthetic vibe, and that isn't
you
it.
You sound like a stuck-up.
I'm not, that is not, that's out of line.
Definitely not covering them up.
You can either cover up or you don't come.
So basically, she's saying cover the tattoos up or don't come to the wedding. Is she the a-hole?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like it's not really that much of a question, honestly. Like, this may be the easiest am I the a-hole in the history of this segment. You are absolutely a terrible person. Like, there are a lot of things that I'm willing to abide by for weddings. Like, I mean, fine, I will wear pants. Fine, I won't get drunk until after the ceremony is completed.
Didn't stop you at yours.
No, it didn't, but you shouldn't be surprised by that either. But asking someone
and after
to...
after going through all that, I understand.
And after having to do your job...
Even I had a drink at my wedding. I mean, come on now, I get it.
Right, and honestly, after having to officiate your wedding... I have an appreciation for why people, for people who actually manage to get through doing that sober.
Oh, it sucks.
I mean, you did a mighty fine job of it. I was marginal at best. But no, like, I feel you can't ask someone to cover up their tattoos for your wedding. Like, I don't care. Like, you could make a case, like, if it's a... I don't know if it's someone in the party versus someone who's just showing up. Like, you don't get to tell people you just showed up to the wedding what tattoos they're going to have. Like, I don't think you should be able to at the party either, but I don't see how you... No, there's no way. Unless they have, like... Unless it's something really bad. I mean, unless they've got, like gang tattoos or something. Okay, then maybe.
Right.
Maybe you can make an argument that this shouldn't be a thing. But other than that, no. I don't agree.
I agree with that 100%. Well, I agree with you 100%. I was recently invited to a wedding. Somebody we both know. I'm not going to mention names because, you know, obviously.
Yeah.
But for a couple weeks up until the event, I was getting messages saying, you need to wear this. You need to do this. When you get here, you're going to have to do this, 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 and this. And I'm just like, about that.
Yeah, no. Absolutely not. Now, like, there's a certain level of things I'm willing to do for someone leading up to the wedding. I really am thankful that the last couple weddings that I've had to stand up in, there haven't been particularly hard and firm rules on a lot of things. Like,
that's why they let you win, man.
I mean, there is that. I mean, when Jim had his wedding, and I was actually standing up the damn thing and was still wearing shorts and chucks... He bought this, like, bowling shirt-looking black and red shirt. Actually, the one I officiated your wedding in. Like, it's just kind of become my, like...
Charlie Sheen shirt.
Basically, like, it's kind of become, like, my, like, gig slash, like, semi-formal, not-formal event shirt. And Scally's, it had little pins in them and stuff. Like, it was actually really cool. Like, it was still very much, like, us in a lot of ways. Like, we got to, you know, we looked like us at our wedding. Like, it wasn't, you know, particularly right. Done up. And there weren't a whole lot of formal requirements really around any of the other stuff. Like, what kind of stuff were they asking you to do? If you feel comfortable divulging.
Right. Like, as a guest or as an officiant?
In the one we were talking about, the guest, the one where you were invited as a guest or whatever. Like that,
you absolutely had to have your car valeted.
Yeah, no.
And you had to tip them in cash, only cash.
Oh wow. See, I feel like that's excessive.
And yeah, just the amount of like instruction that went into every guest beforehand. I'm like, is this a celebration or is this some sort of like, are we herding cattle here?
Right. Like, what's going on here? Are we like having a corporate meeting, or are we getting married? Are we about to get sold a timeshare? Is that what's going on here?
It's pretty much what it felt like.
I would be right there with you. I don't think I could do it. I don't think I could. Like, I don't get. I feel weird when I go to a wedding where like they have assigned seating, man. Like that already.
That's what this was too.
Like that's already weird enough to me. Not even to mention the old valet parking. Like we're not. We ain't rich people. We don't come from money. Like that's people who are like ain't no one hangs around with me because of my money, up to and including my wife. Like
same.
Like the last wedding I had that was like assigned seating or whatever. Like I think the only people I knew at this wedding were actually Rachel and her parents, and Rachel was actually standing up in the wedding, so it was.
Right on.
It ended up working out okay because like I did not know any of the people who were there. Like I kind of knew the couple in question sort of, and a lot of it was high class but also very yeehaw. Like you can tell it's a lot of people that would have a fine time at Faster Horses, if that makes sense.
Yikes!
So thankfully I also happened to know the bartender at the venue. So I just kept sitting there hanging out with her because, like, I think there were even rules for like the drinks and things. And like, nope, she was giving me full pours that day. It was great. I was by the time we left, I was feeling fairly good. So it worked out in the end. I'm like, yeah, here I'm gonna go sit over here and make friends with you because otherwise we're just gonna kind of sit here with Rachel's folks and just be awkward for the rest of the evening. Not that we didn't have a good time, and I do love them dearly, but it's like. Okay, well, it's just the three of us and has been for the last 6 hours. I'm ready.
Cheers.
None of us know a single other person in this building right now. Just
I get that.
So, you know, sometimes this is just kind of the way things go. But no, the bride in this case, absolutely the a-hole person who doesn't want to get their stuff covered up to be in the wedding, does not. There you go. Judgment settled. Hope this helps. ?
That's it. It's over.
Jack Daniels!
It is happy hour at Solid State Radio as we get set to get the hell out of Dodge here on a fun, dreary Wednesday afternoon and make way for a full hour of local, original, whatever it is Adam does at 6 o'clock. Music, I'm told. Local, original music.
I hope he plays my request this week.
Oh, what's your request, Wes? I'm sure he will.
I can't even play it because I don't have anything hooked up. But, never mind.
Oh, were you something that was going to be like what, an obscure Ready for the World song of some sort? Honestly, kind of what I was expecting.
Could have been just about anything.
It really could be. And, you know, we probably have it in the system because if you have it, that means Solid State Radio has it because I believe I'm in possession of about 9/10 of your music collection at this point. Everything except the Mariah
and
Carey,
vice
really.
Versa.
Yeah.
I think I've gotten rid of all my Mariah Carey, especially after the Mariah Apocalypse.
Yeah, I'm hoping I'll be able to avoid that for the next 2 months. So my expectations on that are rather low, especially anytime I have to go into a grocery store in this town. I can avoid it in most other places.
I work in retail, man. That's all I have to say.
Oh, does Jay? Well, I assumed at your place, your boss just switches it over to playing his own band's. His band does have a Christmas song though, so that might not work.
They do?
Yeah, I'll have to play that for you off the air sometime. We gotta go. Sessions is up next. All being well. Or at least being okay-ish, we'll talk to you tomorrow afternoon at 3, give or take. See ya.